Nehemiah is the book of reconstruction. Book of reconstruction. You see, in the history of Israel, you have a period of time that we know of as the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom was under Saul, King Saul, where the people, shame on them, and sometimes God gives us our way. They said they wanted a king. I'll be preaching on that soon here, so I'll not dwell long on that thought. But they wanted a king, and God had raised up King Saul. And then King Saul, through disobedience, was removed from the throne. King David came to the throne. And after David, Solomon came to the throne. And then you had what was called the divided kingdom. The kingdom was divided after Solomon. The northern tribes with Jeroboam and those 10 tribes of Israel, they went into Assyrian captivity around 721 BC. And you know, they never have returned to Israel. You read the kings of the northern kingdom, there's not one that you could find where the Lord had anything complimentary to say. Not one. I'll tell you the reason I believe why is because they went off in rebellion following Jeroboam, the sins of Jeroboam. You've got to look up that phrase sometimes. You have a Bible program. The sins of Jeroboam. They followed him. But then there was also the southern kingdom, and that was the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. And they had some good kings in there. They had some kings that did right in the sight of the Lord. They went into Babylonian captivity in 606 B.C. They returned in three phases. They returned with Zerubbabel in 536 B.C., returning into the Holy Land. Then they returned with Ezra in 455 B.C., and they were completing the rebuilding of the temple. And then they came back with Nehemiah to rebuild the city. If you go into the book of Nehemiah, you see chapter 1 is a chapter of intercession where Nehemiah prays for the people of God. Then in chapter 2 is a chapter of permission where you have the decree for them to be able to return to the land. Chapter 3 is a chapter of reconstruction, where they begin rebuilding. Chapter 4 through 6, we see obstruction. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just as a side note, anytime you make decisions to live for God, anytime you make decisions to do something for God, you're going to be opposed. Someone or something is going to come into your life and oppose you. It was Sanballat and Tobiah, the enemies of God. But in the end of chapter 6, you see completion. Chapter 7, you see registration. It's one of those chapters where you have all the names brought. And then in chapter 8 that we just read, we see instruction. And we see some familiar things to our worship. If you would, go back into Nehemiah chapter 8, just by way of introduction, show you a few things tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8, and look, if you would, at verse number 4. It says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose." One of the reasons why, ladies and gentlemen, we preach from a pulpit is it is right here in the Bible. This was the purpose for this pulpit, is to proclaim the Word of God. Amen? That's what their pulpit was designed for, the reading and proclaiming of the Word of God. Look at verse number 5. It says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people." Do we not do that every week, ladies and gentlemen? We open this book and we read what God says, not the opinions of man. Amen? Not Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Not Norman Vincent Peale and the Power of Positive Thinking. "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. See verse number 5 also. Something else we do. It says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." That's the reason why we stand and we have our responsive reading. Why? In reverence to the very Word of God. They stood up in respect to the Word of God. verse number 6, you see there, it says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with the lifting up of hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Listen, it's okay to say Amen in church. Amen. It's okay to do that. When we worship the Lord together, Ezra blessed. The people responded. They lifted their hands. I know nowadays, us fundamental Baptists, we're so dignified. We're petrified. Amen. We're set in stone. It's still okay to wave your hand and say, "Praise the Lord." Amen. Don't get nervous when somebody does that. Amen. I've seen people during songs. I remember watching Brother Jeff Becker as I was singing at Luke's funeral. And I remember him just putting his hand up. And you know what he was doing? He was just worshiping the Lord. Just giving God praise. Hey, that's still okay. Amen. There they said, Ezra blessed. The people responded. They lifted their hands. They bowed their heads. God was worshiped. If you look in verse 7 and bless the Lord, I read all those names. I'm not reading them again. Amen. I remember Curtis Hudson, he was preaching on when the tongues were in Acts chapter 2, and it said every man heard in his own tongue, and he went through all those names, and he said, "My goodness, if I lived there, I'd move and change my address just so I could have a better name." Amen. And I know how that is. Sometimes you read those names. But look what it says at the end of verse 7. It says, all those people, it doesn't say that, I'm parenthesizing that, amen. All those people and the Levites, I'll pick up there in the middle of the verse, caused the people to understand the law. You know, God gives us teachers so that we could understand the law. And I like what it says there in verse 8. What a great verse verse 8 is. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. These teachers read distinctly. That is what it says. Then they gave the sense, what it means. And they caused them to understand how to apply it in our lives. Pastor Donald, that's a great sermon right there about the Word of God. They taught distinctly. They told them what it says. They told them what it means. And they told them how to use it in their life. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know men that could preach circles around so many of us preachers. But I want to tell you something. Without application, good preaching is useless. Listen, you can just, all it is reading. You just read the Bible and go home. Listen, I want to preach messages where we get to the end and we say, this is how you can use it in your life. This is how you can take it with you to work tomorrow, Brother Boston. This is how you can take it with you to reach that neighbor, dear friend. Listen, how to apply it in our lives. The power of the Word of God. Look at verse number 9. Oh, after they read the law of God, and it says from morning until afternoon. I kid with one of the fellows that comes, an older couple, the Butlers. They're so sweet. They sit down right here by Miss Jane Webb. And I kid with them all the time. I said, "You know, I preach long. I start in the morning, and I end in the afternoon." Amen. That's a joke. Okay? It's okay. You can laugh at that. Amen. Everybody's so serious tonight. Amen. I start in the morning, and I end in the afternoon. And I was just joking with them. I said, "No, they don't have watches when I preach. They have calendars on the wall. You know, that's how long I preach." Listen, they read in here. They read from morning till afternoon. And look what it says in verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatheth, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught all the people, said unto the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, for weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law." Can I ask you this? When's the last time you read God's word all by yourself and brought God loves like me? I tell you, it's a, by the way, that's a wonderful thing. God speaks to our hearts like that, amen. And those hot tears flow down our faces. It says they wept, and he told them, "Listen, don't weep." And he says there in verse 10, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto whom nothing is prepared." Great missions text right there. "For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." told him. He told him in verse 11 basically to calm down and to eat and to drink and prepare joyfully. Why? Because they understood in verse 12 the words that were declared unto them. You know, there are many powerful forces in the world. Yeah, by the way, God being number one, he's not a force, he's a person. Amen. God's the one that created everything. But under his control, I think about rain. Think about, you know, we walk out and we love, and by the way, we need rain. I know that. A couple weeks ago, we had it on a Thursday and Friday. It was the first day we've had back-to-back rain all summer. And just one or two drops is beautiful. But I'll tell you what, you've seen the weather where rain will come together and it'll move homes. Amen. It'll just move things. Rain is a powerful force. Think of something else. Not only rain, but I think of wind. I've seen wind tear up trees that were there, that have been there for 100 years. Big trees, healthy trees, not broken trees. Amen. Brother Gary, I know you take down trees for a living. You've seen wind do that. Wind is powerful. Rain is powerful. Fire is powerful. Isn't it just one little spark out there in Colorado, and the next thing you know, they had these wildfires. Powerful force. I think of the snows and avalanches and so many other things. Can I say this? Some other things, some spiritual things are powerful forces. You know, a good testimony is a powerful force. That testimony you have on the job, guard it. You guard it. Don't listen, when they start telling the dirty jokes, just remove yourself from the conversation. Because a good testimony, it's a powerful force. Listen, I remember I didn't have a perfect testimony while I worked at a secular job. I tried to have a good testimony. I tried to keep a good spirit. And I remember distinctly 3 to 4 times where the profane people that were telling the rotten jokes and would mock my faith came to me privately and said, "Pastor, my sister's got cancer. Would you and your church pray for her?" Why did he come to me? A testimony. A testimony. It's important. It's a powerful force. I think of something else. Not only a good testimony, but strong faith is a powerful force. Hey, can I say especially to those in our church of a hoary head, those of you seniors, amen, your strong faith is a powerful force. Don't you give up on your grandkids. Don't you give up on your grandkids, amen. Your strong faith is a powerful force. And I say something maybe that's negative, it's powerful. One little lie. Powerful. Powerful. What it can do. One little cross word. One unkind word to a brother or sister. The Bible still says the tongue is set on fire of hell. I mean, it's pretty powerful. Well, our message tonight, praise God, there's nothing more powerful that we can touch with our own hands than the Word of God. The Bible refers to it as, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." You know what it is? That word power, dunamis, dynamite, we mentioned it this morning. This Bible is dynamite. It's powerful. I want to show you some ways in which it has power. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. A topical message tonight, 5 points, and then we'll get to 4 points of application. I kid with my friend John Hamlin. He always preaches 3 points in a poem. He kids with me. He says, your sermons are like porcupines. They have so many points. Amen. No, that's all right. Amen. I love to kid with them. I said, "God has 4 point sermons too, Brother Hamlin." Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Number one, the word of God is powerful. It has dividing power like a sword. Number one, the Word of God has dividing power like a sword. You see, he says here that not only is it quick and powerful, and not only is it sharp, but it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It has dividing power like a sword. Can I say this? The Word of God, the Word of God will divide you from sin. Amen? The Word of God will divide you from sin. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, and the whole chapter is about the Word of God. In verse number 11, Psalms chapter 119, verse 11 said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, that's why we have Sunday school classes where we encourage young people to memorize the Word of God. Brother Boston, that's why we have bus programs where we have monthly memory verses. Adults, that's why we always encourage you to read the Word of God. Because as D.L. Moody said, that book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that book. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll appropriate the dividing power of the Word of God, it will separate you from sin. See, it was reading the Word of God that convicted me that liquor is sin. Somebody say amen. That liquor is flat out wicked, straight out of hell, wrecks lives, right here out of the Word of God. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, Proverbs 20, verse 1 says. Then you go over to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor strong drink. I read that, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, it was the dividing power of the Word of God that said, get yourself away. See, it's the dividing power of the Word of God that'll keep you from the wrong things, that'll keep you from watching those rotten television programs, that'll keep you from listening to that filthy music, amen? It's the dividing power of the Word of God. No other book can do that. Powerful. It'll separate you from sin. Not only will it separate you from sin, but according to Psalms chapter 1, it'll separate you from sinners. The dividing power of the Word of God, the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How does he do that? How does he get away from all those? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, not only does the Word of God have power to divide us from sin, but it has power to divide us from sinners. You see, there are people in your life that do not help you to walk the Christian walk. As a matter of fact, they hinder you. They hurt you. I'm not saying we cast them off, but I'm saying this. We do not hang out in the places we used to hang out with them. We do not go to the functions that we used to go to with them. Hey, if you really want to reach them, invite them to church. By the way, that's about where the dividing will begin. You really want to reach them, invite them to your home where you can control the environment. Don't go off to some, we're having a backyard barbecue and there's beer flowing and all that. Listen. The Word of God will separate you from sinners. It doesn't mean we think we're better than sinners. And it doesn't mean we completely isolate ourselves, because, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus came to save sinners. And we're to tell people, but we're not to partake in their wicked, worldly activities. Amen, church? The Word of God has dividing power like a sword. It'll separate us from sin. It'll separate us from sinners. According to Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 26, it'll separate us from sinful behavior. Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. How do we do that? How does the Word of God keep us from sinful behavior? Because we read what it says, and it says there are things that we should do and there are things that we should not do. I've said for many, many years, the Word of God has made me a better man. Amen? It's made me a better husband. It's made me a better dad. Amen? Praise God, it's made me a better pastor. The Word of God, it has dividing power. like a sword. Go with me to the book of James, chapter 1. Our second point here. Point number one, dividing power like a sword. It'll divide us from sin, from sinners, from sinful behavior. Point number two is in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Love to hear those pages rustle. Just as long as they don't rustle too long. Find the book of James. Amen. Or look on with your neighbor. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. Actually, let's begin in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Number one, the word of God is powerful. It has dividing power like a sword. Number two, it has reflecting power like a mirror. Dividing power like a sword, reflecting power like a mirror. I heard an illustration, I think, that fits so perfectly here, of a young couple in the late 1800s that got married. They got married, and there wasn't all that we have now, amen? Some of you remember what it is to get married in the 50s and 60s, how different things have changed, but this lady, they lived on a farm, and she prepared meals the old-fashioned way, amen, the hearth and fire and all those things. She, listen, had never seen a mirror before. Never. Never seen one. And so she went on her way and did all her business, and over the years she mothered her children and pushed them out of the house like you're supposed to. Amen. They're supposed to go, amen. Leave and cleave, the Bible says, amen. And she was a wife to her husband, and they had been married 50 and almost 60 years. Finally, one of their children brought a mirror and put it in the old barn. Didn't even think about it, was just left it in there. And that sweet old lady went out to the barn and looked at that mirror and said, that old person in that picture over there. Never seen him before. No, sometimes that's the way we are. We look at the Word of God. We don't like what we see because it reflects us and shows us exactly who we are. What a lot of people do, Brother Sam, is they get to the monkey with that book. It's like going into the fun house. How many of you remember going into the fun house? And when I was a kid, I was very skinny. I know that's hard for you to believe, but I was. I wasn't thick like I am now. And so whenever I went into the fun house, Brother Boston, I like to go in front of the mirror that made you look fatter. And you remember those mirrors? You walked in the fun house, I said, boy, I like how I look in that mirror. And then people maybe that were heavier, they'd go in front of the skinny mirror and say, boy, look at that. Look how nice I look. Amen. You know what? Let's not change the mirror. Let's change the man. If you see something in that book about you that you don't like, you don't cut it out of that book. You don't highlight it with your black magic marker. Amen. Listen, you come to God and say, God, I need worked on. I need help. See, that book has reflecting power like a mirror. It shows us for who we are. Thank God for that, by the way. Amen. A mirror simply reveals what's on the other side. By the way, a mirror is helpful sometimes to show needs. Number one, it has dividing power like a sword. Number two, it has reflecting power like a mirror. Number three, go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Book of Ephesians chapter 5. Just what we call a simple topical message tonight that I hope will be a blessing. Ephesians chapter number 5. And if you would, look at verse number 26. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse us, speaking of the church here, with the washing of water by the word. You see, the word of God has dividing power like a sword. The word of God has reflecting power like a mirror. And the word of God has cleansing power like water. The word of God has cleansing power like water. Psalms chapter 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." See, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But where do I find such cleansing? I find it in the pages of the Word of God. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to show you this, that the Word of God has cleansing power like water. 1 John chapter 1, we find that power. It begins there in verse number 7 of 1 John chapter 1. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Yes, the Word of God has dividing power. Yes, the Word of God has reflecting power. But praise God, the Word of God has cleansing power. The Word of God is the Word of God that appropriates the sacrifice of Christ. We look and see that Jesus bled and died to cleanse us from all of our sin. Thank God for that. Thank God that you can read the Word of God, get under conviction, and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Only the Word of God does that. Only the Word of God. Now listen, I don't know about the Buddhist faith, and I don't know all about that. I don't know all about the Muslim faith. I know they're required. I think it's 6 times a day to be on their knees to Mecca and to do all that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's the sweet Word of God that works in our hearts to cleanse away. It's cleansing, washing us. And that's why, by the way, you ought to bathe yourself in this book all the time. Morning, noon, night. Amen. I remember hearing a preacher whom I had great respect for. He was saying how often he read the New Testament. He wasn't bragging. Amen. He was a sweet older man. He said, "You know what I do?" He said, "I just keep that Testament in my back pocket." And Brother Holy said, "And wherever I am, if I have an auto mechanic and I have to wait a few minutes," he said, "I just open it up and I just start to read it." He said, "Why?" "Because it does divide. Because it does reflect. Because it does cleanse. And the more we get it in our life, better off we're going to be." Amen? Power of the Word of God. Dividing power like a sword. Reflecting power like a mirror. Cleansing power like water. Oh, I love this. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you're in 1 John, it's just back a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 1. What great verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 23. Fourth point here. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel we preached unto you." Number four, the Word of God has reproducing power like seed. Reproducing power like seed. You know, I remember when I first got saved, and how many of you remember that old proverb, the old riddle, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Amen, I remember that, amen. And you know, for the evolutionists, that's a real quandary. But for those of us that believe the Bible, let me just tell you what it is. It's the chicken. Just in case you didn't know, it's the chicken. And how do you know? Because you read Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, speaking about plants and the fruit and all that, whose seed is in itself. See, the chicken has the seed within him, amen? And then we get the egg, and then we get more chickens, amen? The apple tree, you open up that apple, praise God, it's almost apple picking season, hallelujah. We go up to Ionia and pick apples. You break open that apple, and you know what you're going to find inside? Seeds. The seed is part of it. And you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, this book right here has reproducing power like seed. The only way somebody is born again is through the power of the Word of God. You say, does it have to be a King James Bible? I'm not that narrow, amen. People were saved before 1611. Amen. But listen, I believe this book right here, and I believe that a person gets saved because God's Word is presented to them. You know, I could present the Bible without actually opening the Bible. I could present the story of Christ. What I've learned from the Word of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God has reproducing power like that's why when you talk to folks, listen, it's good to invite them to church. Amen? It's good to talk about the different programs or whatnot, but if you're able to, try and get them the Word of God, because the Word of God has reproducing power like seed. Oh, read in John chapter 1, it talks about, but as many as received him, them gave power to become the sons of God, who were born not of the will of the flesh, but of God, right through the Word of God. The Word of God has reproducing power like seed. It has cleansing power like water, reflecting power like a mirror, dividing power like a sword. Number 5, 1 Peter chapter 2. We're already in 1 Peter, just a page over. Look at verse number 2. We studied this verse so often in our series on growth. It has nourishing power like food. Nourishing power like food. It says there in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am not the judge of anybody's salvation. Neither are you. Amen. We're not to judge salvation. But I will tell you this. Salvation and a desire to know God in His Word are linked. They're linked. You see, if you really get saved, if you really trust Christ, you appropriate faith in Jesus Christ, you will want to read His Word. You will want to know Him. The Bible says here, just like babies desire food, spiritual babies desire the Word of God. It has, and praise God for the nourishing power of the Word of God. How many of you know that as you start your day, with the Word of God, you just have a better day. Praise you. Amen. Now listen, I'm not immune from this. You think as a pastor, well, pastor just gets in and he reads the Word of God for 4 and 5 and 6 hours. No. I'm sorry. If you have that illusion, let me pop your bubble. Amen. There's things to do on a Tuesday morning, and there's things to do on Wednesday afternoon. There's business of the church that has to be attended to. There's sermons that have to be prepared. Listen. I have to, just like Pastor Donald preached on the Wednesday night, 2 Wednesday nights ago, just need to just do it. Start your day in the Word of God. It has nourishing power like food. All right, so 5 points. Nourishing power like food, reproducing power like seed, cleansing power like water, reflecting power like a mirror, dividing power like a sword. Here's our application. How do we apply it? First of all, concerning this book, number 1, read it. Read it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, it's not enough to talk about the Word of God. It's not enough to talk about reading the Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God for yourself. You say, but Pastor, I'm busy. If you're too busy to read the Word of God, you're too busy. Amen. You say, Pastor, there's not a convenient time. I'll never forget, we had a sweet elderly lady when I was at Midwestern Baptist College. I think she was about 114 years old. Amen. She was about 82, 83, but very frail. And she sat us down. She was very highly educated. And she sat us preacher boys down. And here we are, Brother Boston, we're going to charge hell with a squirt gun. We're going to preach the Word of God. Amen. But we had to take 16 credits of classes, work full time and all that. And she said this, I'll never forget it, Brother Stanley. She said, young men, you'll need to study. We all kind of looked at her and said, okay. We had English class, social studies and all that. And she said, and you'll have to study for a few hours. Now we're all gulping. She said, and you know when you get to study? She said, 10 and 15 minutes at a time. When you have a break. Have a little downtime. She said, don't plan on studying for 2 and 3 hours because you'll never get that 2 or 3 hours. I'm going to tell you the same thing in that book. If you're looking for that 2 or 3 hour period in your day, good luck. We don't believe in luck, but good luck. Amen. You're not going to find it. You've got to make time. You've got to make 10 minutes. You've got to make 15 minutes. Listen, those of you that have a half an hour lunch, take half of that half an hour. Take your sandwich and eat your sandwich and read the Word as you do. Take one of the days of praise that our church provides for us and read along with that. Maybe read morning and evening. Get you a good devotional out of our bookstore. But read the Word of God every day. Why? Because it's powerful. Haven't we seen that it's powerful? Listen, so first of all, we're going to have to read it. Secondly, not only read it, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This verse has been such a blessing to me this year. I don't know of too many verses this year that have really, really impacted me like this verse has. But it really, really has. First point of application is we need to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So first of all, we need to read it. The Bible says back there in Nehemiah 8:8, they read it distinctly. Secondly, not only read it, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, receive it. Receive it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God. You see, Paul came, and Paul was not large in stature. Matter of fact, he was a shorter man. He was probably very grotesque looking from all the beatings and stonings. But he preached the Word of God, and the Bible says they received it. And then it says this, they received the Word of God, which he heard of us. He received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The first thing you need to do is read it. The second thing you need to do is receive it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a fallible man. You're looking at a sinner. Thank you for that one amen. You're so kind, amen. But listen, I know who I shave every day. But you know what? When I preach that book, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what that book. You understand what that book says. You may say, well, you know what? Pastor Rich is loud. He's lathered up and he's preaching on something, but he's preaching what God says. You receive it not as what I say, but as God says. God says, when you do that, when you receive it as the very word of God, it effectually works. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm glad for that effectual working in my own personal life. First of all, read it. Secondly, receive it. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, third point here. I'm almost done. I've only got 14 more sub-points. No. I do have a few. Amen. I think you'll be a blessing. Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Our young people will know this story very well. It's about a wise man and a foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, it says, therefore, in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Goes right back to James 1. Not being hearers only, but doers. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Number one, under application tonight, read it. Number two, receive it. Number three, regard it. Regard it. Give it a place of regarding in your life. And you know what that simply means? Listen, when you know what God says, just do what He says. Just do what He says. I've got a message I've not preached yet here, but a message on when God told Noah to build the ark. It's just a message called Because I Said So. Because I Said So. Well, God, why does it have to be a cubit in this? And why do we have to climb a pitch? How about just because God said so? Because whatever God says is going to be okay. Amen? Think about that. Regarding the Word of God. I'm at the stage with my children, and I know many of you have gotten through this stage, praise God, but to me, this is an important stage at 2 and 4 years old. We're casting them for the rest of their life. They're either going to obey or they're not going to obey. And listen, forgive me, but if you see one of my children disobeying, just let me be their dad. I'll take care of them, amen. Trust me, will I ever take care of them? Listen, every child naturally. We have to train ourselves to obey. We read the Word of God, and it tells us, you know what? The tithe is the Lord's. We say, well, that doesn't apply to me. He talks about witnessing to people and sharing the faith and just do what He says. Listen, when my boys are obedient to me, I'm telling you, we are in good fellowship. I'm happy and they're happy. When they're disobedient, they may be happy for a little while, but Daddy's going to be unhappy. Daddy's going to transfer that unhappiness to them. Very soon, they're going to be unhappy. It'd be a whole lot better to just obey. Just regard what God said. Regard it, receive it, read it. And lastly tonight, I love this part. Go over to Psalm 119. Three little subpoints here, and I'll blow through these quick. Read it. Receive it, regard it, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm chapter 112, verse number 1, let me read it to you. It says there, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Psalm chapter 119, you're there. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. And if we were to read that properly in the English language, that with that punctuation mark, it would go something like this. Oh, how I love thy law. An exclamation point. It is my meditation all the day. You see, according to the Bible, some people rejoiced in the Word of God more than their food. Look at Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Job chapter 23, verse 12 says, I have esteemed thy words more than my necessary food. Not just the ice cream that we're going to have after service, Pastor Donald, amen. not just the Sundays, but I'm talking about the very bread that nourishes you. Job said, I've esteemed your word more than my necessary food. Boy, how about that? Rejoicing in God's word more. Rejoicing in God's word more. Oh, help us, Lord. I don't like this one, but I'm going to follow my own preaching here. Then sleep. Look at Psalm chapter 119, verse 46. I'm sorry, 146. Psalm 119, 146. I was looking at verse 46. That's not the right verse, amen. Psalm chapter 119, verse 146. And that looks like the wrong one too, amen. Psalm 119. How about verse 62, amen? I know that's a good one, amen. It says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. He says, I woke myself up at midnight just to praise God for His. I don't know about you. When I wake up at midnight, I'm pretty ornery. Amen? I woke up last night at 1:30 this morning. At 1:30 in the morning, I had a headache that woke me up. Now, that's a headache, amen? Just drove me right to wake up. David here says, you know what? I love the Word of God so much. I'm willing to wake up at midnight and just praise God. Boy, it's convicting, isn't it? It is to me how really little that we love the Word of God. He said he rejoiced in it more than food, more than sleep, and more than money. Psalm 119. Look at verse number 14. Three verses and we're done. It says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Hey, I don't know about you, but if you ever met somebody that just came into a lot of money, something else comes along with that money. We know, of course, trouble and all that, but usually initially a big smile comes along with all that money. You know what David says here? He says, this means more to me than all that I could have. Go over to Psalm 119, verse 72. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. One more verse. Verse 162. Psalm 119, verse 162. Almost the very end. It says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Anybody, when you were a kid, ever treasure hunt? I tell you, we did. My mom knows. We lived in such a wonderful neighborhood. It was a brand new neighborhood in the early 70s. It was built, and it was cut out of this mountain. And there was about 200 homes there, about halfway up. Behind us was just acres. Mountains, woods, and cliffs. Miss Kim knows, amen, where we're from. We used to just go out there and hunt for buried treasure. Boy, we find a coffee can full of coins, something like that, that somebody buried. And boy, I tell you what, look at that, we found it. The Bible says here, he said, I rejoice at thy word more than somebody finds it. Rejoice in God's word like that. You know, it's powerful. It has dividing power. It has reflecting power. It has cleansing power. It has reproducing power. It has nourishing power. What do we need to do? We need to read it. We need to receive it. God's word. Whether I like it or not. This is God's word. We need to regard it. We need to say, if God said it, I'm going to set out to. I know Miss Barb knows. There are countries all over the world still in 2012 that have no copy. You and I have several copies. I believe in my office right now, I probably have over a dozen Bibles. Am I reading My regarding it, saying I'm going to do what God's word says. My, if not, praise God for its power to convict me that I need.